pedestal is this really iconic signifier of something having importance. You know, since antiquity all the way into the contemporary art museum, and even in our figures of speech, we recognize the pedestal as this thing that asks us to stop and to take note and to ascribe value to whatever's on it. You know, pedestals, of course, play a really functional role of raising something up to eye level, such as in a gallery, or much higher to signify importance, such as with some public sculptures or architecture. I'm thinking of the St. Louis statue, for example, in front of the Art Museum, which is towering high on a pedestal overlooking Forest Park. So as you enter the gallery here at Hi-Lo, you find yourself in this maze of pedestals. I wanted to reconfigure the way that you relate to the photographs in the show, to think of them less as an image that you would find on a wall or as an object, even on a pedestal, but as this almost physically set apart moment in time, as if you're presently looking down at that very thing pictured. Unlike many other photographs that might capitalize on the technological capacity of a camera to capture a fleeting movement or, you know, that perfect decisive moment, these images are generally very static scenes, but they are ones that still represent change over time, albeit very slowly, often over the course of hours or days, even seasons. You know, the blooming and the wilting of a wildflower in the high mountains, or the forming and melting of abstract ice patterns, and so on. The pedestal serves as this way to construct almost a sort of physical body for that pausing of time, and the experience of appreciation and wonder. The images are not arranged in any particular grouping or order. You are invited to just wander through and around and back again. This wandering allows you to look at each image from various orientations. Some images have a pretty specific orientation that feels right, while other angles of the composition that you may come to maybe initially may feel more odd. So by placing the images horizontally instead of on the wall, you're invited to sort of discover the intended or even original orientation of the image. Also, rather than taking in all of the images on the gallery wall simultaneously, the pedestals afford a little bit of time and space in between looking at the images or sets of images as you have to move around and investigate. This idea of wandering through the exhibition is drawn again from this ancient story of the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years, which was referenced on the exhibition didactic poster at the entrance. The pedestals are obviously numerous, filling the space with this nod to the abundance, both of time that we discussed earlier, as well as the abundance of the provision mentioned in this ancient story, and finally the abundance of nature and her beauty. Within the images, there are some moments of kind of immediate visual resonance. A certain pieces sit side by side, for example, two situated at the very back and kind of center of the gallery. There's an image of rock salt on like railroad track bed that looks surprisingly similar to the white pebbles on the beach in the image next to it. There's other moments where it's almost as if a memory is triggered by an image that you saw across the gallery with another familiar composition or tonality. Scale and perspective are often a little bit reinterpreted, asking you to wonder just a little bit longer than you might normally when looking at a picture of nature. There are some images where you might even wonder if an image is microscopic or cosmic, or, you know, anything in between. The repetition of the forms in the gallery, particularly the circular shape that you see again and again, resonates with this story of the Israelites eating the same food, this manna, for over 40 years, day in and day out and around and around. Manna later became connected as a metaphor, particularly in the Christian tradition, with the ritual of the communion wafer, which is, kind of another sort of bread from heaven. It's often a small, white, circular wafer that is eaten every week during a religious service. And, repeatedly over a lifetime of a practicing worshiper, they would experience this again and again. So while the work connects to the significance of my religious practice, there's also this more universal environmental pondering that the work proposes. If you move into the small room adjoining the gallery, you'll find a 7-minute loop of an animated drawing projected onto the floor. The video features five compositions, all based on compositions of the photographs found in the gallery. The video is titled Fugue in Graphite, and the structure of the video references the classical musical form of a fugue. A fugue starts with a single melodic line or phrase that is then repeated high and low, and it's layered and inverted and passed around to different instruments, and reinvented again and again throughout the musical piece. Similarly, you see here each composition, each drawing starts with a simple line that then builds and layers and inverts and erases and builds again. So while I was thinking about this story of Manna from these ancient religious traditions, and then the continuation of religious practices today, which have developed over centuries of time, I kept pondering this act of tracing. Rituals, either religious or secular or even personal, have this fundamental sort of original structure that is then repeated and retraced again and again and again over time. So these animated drawings explored how that retracing is never exactly the same. The line as it repeats is, slightly off, or it gets just slightly crooked or curved where it wasn't before. It expands and expands and expands, and then it retracts and erases, and we lose sight of the original line. Then we might see it again, only to be covered up, over again and again. But even as the images draw and undraw, trace and retrace themselves, we never really lose, the shape or the overall composition of the underlying drawing. We can see it the whole time, even as it changes. So in my opinion, the drawing usually becomes more beautiful the more it expands. We might experience a sense of loss or maybe even clarity or relief as it retracts and erases. The layers also shift pretty dramatically from white to black and black and back again, and all the while the pencil line itself remains this graphite gray. So while editing these shifts, I was pondering this trope of seeing things in black and white or giving room for gray areas, and thinking about how rituals become so entrenched in how we think and who we believe ourselves to be and how we, organize the habits of our daily living to the point where perhaps we find ourselves seeing things in the proverbial black and white, and feel polarized from the other, from someone who has a different position than us, when in fact, the original lines and structure of these rituals, of these compositions, are in this more delicate, more nuanced shade of gray that is, in this tracing fugue, is both simultaneously buried and expanded. The piece connects back to the idea of time that I spoke about at the onset. While making a drawing is often a time-consuming practice, the finished product of a drawing is usually a static object. And these drawings, I was interested in this idea of animating and perpetuating time, which creates the sort of living form of a drawing that parallels for me the way that rituals and traditions may seem static or stable, but in fact they really vibrate with this sometimes even almost frenetic life and energy and vitality when practiced and reinvented and inverted and retraced over time. I began this mana project as a very personal form of daily meditation with no real intentions of it coming into a public space. I was feeling exacerbated by the way the art world is put on a pedestal, if you will. You know, the astronomical prices of the art market. And so often this celebration of the inaccessible, the exclusive, the strange, and even the grotesque. And while, you know, I think there is a place for all of that, I personally just missed celebrating beauty. I wanted to, instead of looking up at something we deem art that's put on a pedestal, I just wanted to look down at the ground. You know, the most humble of places, the thing that we walk on and over and every day. So I was thinking a lot about how common it is for people to take pretty pictures of nature. And I wanted to celebrate that really common instinct that so many of us have to document. I wanted the exhibition to celebrate that very idea of looking down, to wonder at the incredible commonality of natural beauty, you know, extraordinary commonality. And also, you know, celebrate the beauty of the act of taking time to stop and to look down and to wonder and to ascribe value. So while I was feeling frustrated with the art world, I was also experiencing a lot of professional and personal burnout. Developing this practice of taking time to look down and not really worry about the artistic value of what I was doing was very healing. And I found, you know, the appreciation of nature to be almost like this divine provision that paralleled this ancient story of manna being this miraculous sustenance found in the desert. Again, I was thinking that nature is this very common, if not almost universally recognized place that people find healing and space to experience wonder, delight, and beauty. So, and finally, bringing this work into a public space, I just wanted to share that reveling in those moments of beauty and the nourishment, and also affirm the compulsion, even the cliche, that so many of us have to make and store photos of our daily experience with beauty. So it's all that frustrating baggage around the art world can be, you know, one of the most beautiful invitations of the contemporary art world is to ask questions and to reinvent our relationships with images and objects and, of course, with beauty. So by harnessing all of that meaning that is imbued in a simple white rectangle, a pedestal, or in this case, you know, a whole flock of white rectangles, I enjoyed kind of capturing this poetic rhetoric that was built over centuries of art making and presentation that asks you to just give a few extra moments of your attention and contemplation to these scenes of incredible natural design. You know, some are right at eye level for you to just drink in. Others invite you to stoop or crouch or bend closer to decipher. You know, not something we often do in a gallery, but I invite you to do so. And as you study the compositions, you may ask yourself, what is it? What is that? Or when is it? Or even where is it? And when we answer these questions through purely a lens of knowledge, we arrive at this fairly surface level understanding of the work that is not necessarily negative, but it may also not be that difficult to answer. You know, it's ice or salt or sand, it's winter or spring or evening or morning, it's at the ocean or in the high mountains, or it's at Tower Grove Park. But when we ask these questions, what is it? When is it? And where is it? Through the lens of wonder, they can really become these questions of the imagination. They can become questions that ask us to ponder our relationship with nature or with religion or with time. They can become questions like those asked by the heroic poet Pablo Neruda in his book, The Book of Questions. Questions like, what color is the scent of the blue weeping violets? What did the tree learn from the earth to be able to talk with the sky? When will Thursday talk itself into coming after Friday? When is the appointment of the rose decreed under the earth? Have you ever noticed how winter collects so many layers of blue? Why did the grove undress itself only to wait for the snow? Why do the waves ask me the same questions I ask them? And why do they strike the rock with so much wasted passion? Where is the center of the sea? Do the waves never go there? Does the earth sing like a cricket in the music of the heavens? Thank you so very much for coming to visit the exhibition and for taking some time to wonder with me.